The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise, go on your way. Your faithfulness has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. The children's sermon will return next week. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. This story could have taken place anywhere. For Luke, it happened somewhere between Samaria and Galilee. For us, it could happen somewhere between Franklin and downtown, or Memphis and Nashville, or somewhere between Broadway and this place. The story could happen anywhere. And it just so happens that anywhere is where God does God's work. Permeable space, the space between being lost and being found, the space between being right and being wrong, the space between being on the way of discipleship and a little bit off into the wilderness. God works in permeable spaces. We saw that 2 weeks ago with the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus caught in the permeable space at the man's gates. A permeable space that, according to the prophets of the Old Testament, is where justice happened. The prophet Amos accompanied us for 2 weeks talking about how God's justice was done. In particular, how justice ought to be done at the gates, where folks in need gathered. A place that had been forgotten by those in charge of Israel, the kings in their palaces, locked away. They had forgotten that in order to rule, you had to take care of all people. The interests of a few were elevated over the circulation of gift for all. And so Amos reminded them that justice is done at the gates, where people meet, where everyday life happens. And right on the heels of that story, we have Jesus with his disciples on the way to Jerusalem in the ordinary space of life. As they enter a village, they are met by 10 lepers, which for ancient audiences throws up all kinds of red flags. For us moderns, leprosy is seen as a particular disease, a contagious skin affliction. But for the ancients, it's not so simple. The disease is more about the social ramifications than it is about the initial scientific symptoms. It's not what causes leprosy. It's what leprosy causes. It's not what causes leprosy, the bacteria. It's what leprosy causes, the label. If you had leprosy in the ancient world, you were as good as dead to society. They would put you away in a leper colony somewhere, perhaps, or you were set to face life alone, to scratch out a living in permeable spaces, not being welcomed into the marketplace or the synagogue or into a home. Leprosy causes uncleanliness, which can be a death sentence. In the ancient world, to be unclean is to be held at arm's length. outside of a community. There are mechanics for becoming clean. Jewish ritual had in place practices that would help people transition from uncleanliness to cleanliness, to move back into community space. If you had touched blood, if you were unclean because you touched a dirty pan or perhaps didn't wash your hands properly, all these things could put you at arm's length from community. But go to a priest or a rabbi, go to a synagogue leader, and maybe wash in the waters. You could be cleaned. Maybe there's a tithe that goes along with that, depending on what it was. But these 10 individuals would have been marked unclean because of the label. It didn't matter that they could have been suffering from eczema or a bad sunburn. The ancients didn't care about that. They cared about the label. And so what are you to do in permeable space as one who is unclean? Along comes Jesus, one who seems to defy social boundaries, who has demonstrated a power to raise people to new life. Maybe not actually resurrecting folks out of the tomb. That happens a little bit later for Jesus. But naming people clean when they were declared unclean. Declaring a stranger who had been bleeding for 12 years, ritualistically unclean for 12 long years. Naming her not only clean, but a daughter of Abraham and welcomed in the community. As one who is unclean, you would have heard that story because it held a kernel of hope. And here is Jesus passing through. Have mercy on us, they cry out. And what he tells them seems to be a bit innocuous. Go and show yourselves to the priest. After all, it's the priest who can name you clean. It's what you're supposed to do. But for Jesus, it's an act of defiance. These folks could already have been made clean, already welcomed back into community, put into right relationship. It could have happened, but it hadn't. And Jesus had dealt with enough injustice already in his ministry that he says, go and show yourselves to the priest. By doing so, he is naming them clean by granting them an audience in the first place. He is opening an avenue to be put back into right relationship, and on the way they are cleansed, made clean. Perhaps getting the stamp of approval from Jesus opened some doors for them, welcomed back home, back into synagogue. But Jesus' word is trusted. There is faith in what Jesus can do. And so the action of sending them to the priest, perhaps a moment of defiance, is one that changes the game for these 10 individuals. And then the story gets thicker. One of them notices that they have been made clean, perhaps because of an act of hospitality, and comes back to Jesus praising God. And the story takes another turn. Luke telling us now he was a Samaritan. If anybody outside of the Gentiles in the ancient Jewish world was unclean, it was the Samaritans, though they were kinfolk of the Jewish people. The Samaritans who had been left behind during the Babylonian exile and couldn't quite make it work when the people came back from Babylon, had been ostracized, made unclean, because they worshiped in a different place, because they followed Torah in just a little bit different way. Historically unclean. For this person, a Samaritan leper, doubly unclean. And yet they are the only one to recognize it, to recognize being made whole again. And Jesus points it out. Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this Samaritan? It was a shocking statement. But as we've been following this story, It shouldn't be all that shocking. This is how God's kingdom seems to work, in unexpected ways, in ordinary places, with ordinary people. Relationships that had been sour for centuries are being healed. Those who were unclean and kept at arm's length are being welcomed. And Jesus' statements, "Rise, go on your way, your faithfulness has made you well," is an inkling of what Jesus has done and will continue to do. In this one phrase is packed so much of Luke's story. It's not just rise, get up. It's rise, anastasis, be resurrected. It's the same word that the messenger uses at the tomb. It's the same word that Peter and Paul will use when they travel in Acts to describe the deeds of power God has done in raising Jesus to new life. This one who is doubly unclean, who comes back out of faithfulness, is told, "Be raised, go on your way. Your faithfulness has made you well." In a sense, it encapsulates all of what this gospel is about: being raised to new life and acting faithfully in the world and going back out and serving. All of these layers in this story work to reveal God's graciousness, work to reveal the power of the gospel, of what it means to be raised to new life, and then sets us back out on our way, back into ordinary spaces. Remember, this is not happening in a synagogue on the Sabbath. We've encountered that before. This is not happening in Jerusalem, in the holy city. This is happening somewhere between Samaria and Galilee, somewhere between Franklin and downtown, somewhere between Memphis and Nashville, somewhere between Broadway and our front door. Ordinary spaces, permeable space where God does God's work. And so often God does that work through us. So the challenge for a story like this, the challenge for us is to take a look at our own world through that context. Think about your day, the space you inhabit, the boundaries that you cross, maybe the official boundaries of townships or the unofficial boundaries of who's in and who's out, the labels, the wealthier parts of town versus the other side of the tracks. The concepts and names that we put to places so that we recognize them without calling them exactly what they are. Affluence, poverty, wholeness, brokenness, clean, unclean. Think about the space that you move through and what takes place in those ordinary spaces, the everyday interactions that we all have with people. The labels not only carried by the spaces, but the labels that are placed on people. Because even though we've changed a lot hasn't changed from 2,000 years ago. We still have a system in place of naming the world around us, who we meet, where we travel. We still have labels to talk about what's safe, unsafe, what's clean, what's unclean. Our work on behalf of the gospel challenges those labels, challenges us to think differently, to see the world differently, to encounter the world differently through the lens of faithfulness, through the lens of resurrection. We who are gathered here have heard these words already, maybe in a different way. But across the generations, the power of God is still at work, and to each one of us, God has said, "Rise. Go on your way. Be resurrected. Go on your way. Fed and forgiven, go back out into the world. Your faithfulness has made you well." We've all heard that. And we've all been called to embody that, to take that faithfulness and help it to operate in all of the permeable spaces that we encounter, to practice the very resurrection that God proclaims and embodies. So think about it. Today, somewhere between Samaria and Galilee, somewhere between Antioch and Nashville, somewhere in between church and home, think about the spaces. Think about the labels. Think about the way the world has helped us to see and hear things around us. And remember how God retunes that. Be raised, your faithfulness has made you well. What do you see now? Through the lens of the gospel, what do you see now? Through the eyes of God. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, number 710, Let Streams of Living Justice Please Rise.